Good morning and welcome to this segment of Your Morning Wake-Up Call. I'm your host, MK. Solitary confinement, by its nature, it's an issue that goes out of sight, out of mind, where tormented screams coming from the siloed cells go silent in the night, and to those of us in the outside world. Yet those who have experienced it say the suffering behind closed doors is real and unimaginable. Not only a treatment that can cause severe trauma, but worsen a person's mental state, some say to the point of suicide. The ACLU is bringing this issue out from the shadows and into the light with a new report that gives the status of New Mexico's state of solitary confinement. Joining us to talk to us today and about legislation to better regulate it is Director Leon Howard from the ACLU. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure and honor to have you with us here today.
Yes, MK. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me, and happy to be here to talk about this important issue, one that, like you said, goes ignored because it's kind of behind the walls and general society kind of forgets about our brothers and sisters behind the walls.
Can we set the stage for those who don't know about it? I actually learned more about it than I'd ever known by watching a documentary, and I highly recommend this to our listeners. It's on PBS. It's called Solitary Nation. And I was appalled at what I saw happening behind closed doors. And I am certainly not saying that this is happening in New Mexico, because I have no idea. I haven't investigated them, although I do say that solitary confinement is worthy of investigation at any moment in time, because what I witnessed in that documentary was, and I'm just going to state some of the most extreme conditions I saw, were people in their cells. And whether they were all siloed, of course, off from each other in their own unique cell, but there was urine, feces, and blood that was spread across the floor, and it would leak from cell into the next cell. And this is, again, as I said, I'm not saying this is happening at New Mexico prisons, but it's happened in solitary confinement. And just the level of self-harm that was happening, the level of insanity that began to set in after periods of time that people were put into solitary. So can you help us set the stage? Do you know other kinds of conditions? How long does somebody stay in there? And what does it look like?
The types of circumstances that you've described can certainly be found in documented incidents in jails and prisons in our state. Speaking from a more general standpoint of the typical experience for an inmate impacted by solitary confinement is that you're locked in a cell that's the size of a parking space. And we define solitary confinement as being in that type of condition for at least 22 hours a day. Right now, the correction department's policies require an inmate to be allowed exercise time for 1 hour a day for 5 days a week. So in a week, their policy only allows for an inmate to be out of their cell 5 hours in a week. And what our study revealed is that inmates are reporting that 1 hour a day that they have gets canceled at least a few times a week. The overwhelming majority of inmates said that their hour a day gets canceled. So you're basically in 24-hour lockdown in a cell the size of a parking space every day. Another thing that our study revealed is guards are supposed to be coming by and checking on the inmates that are impacted by these conditions at least every 30 minutes. The inmates report that they rarely see guards. So they have no stimulation whatsoever, no human contact, lack of access to reading materials and any sort of materials or activities that can stimulate their mental health. And they also overwhelmingly report lack of adequate mental health services. Our report shows after surveying 90 inmates, that over 90% of them have been diagnosed with some sort of mental health condition at some point in their life by a mental health professional. So these inmates who are placed in solitary confinement are already vulnerable in terms of their mental health. And they all report overwhelmingly experiencing anxiety, depression, thoughts of suicide, and thoughts, violent thoughts. So obviously the biggest public safety crisis, aside from the fact that we're treating people inhumanely in our state, is that we have a system that we're sending inmates into that leaves them in a worse mental health state, in a state that perpetuates them having thoughts of violence, and then releasing them back into society.
What is the average time spent from your report in solitary, and how many of our prisoners are in solitary?
That is an interesting point of our report, to speak about the amount of inmates in solitary. In 2018, the Corrections Department reported that we had a rate of solitary confinement that was dropped down to about 4.5% across the state. Our researchers who worked on this report that we released just last week, I want to give them a shout out, Barbara Gomez and Brooke Abrams, who are two PhD candidates at UNM's political science program. They reviewed public records and the definitions of all of the units in a New Mexico Corrections Department facilities and discovered that in 2018, during the same time frame that the Corrections Department reported that 4.5% of our inmates were in solitary confinement, is actually 9%, which is about 1 in 10 inmates who are incarcerated are in these conditions in our state, and it makes us rank among the top 5 states in the nation in terms of the usage of solitary confinement. In terms of the length of stay, there's this program in PNM, the Santa Fe Penitentiary, right here in Santa Fe, that houses the highest number of inmates in solitary confinement. They're in this program that's called the Predatory Behavioral Management Program, and just that name in and of itself, inmates reported as insulting, misleading, dehumanizing, and gives people the impression that by the word predatory, somehow the reason they're in those conditions has something to do with sexual misconduct. So you start by dehumanizing them by placing them in a program called a predatory behavior management, and then they all report lack of rehabilitative services in that program. If you move through that program, there's 4 steps, and the first 3 steps all keep you confined to yourself for at least 22 hours a day. If you complete that program and assume that the corrections department is following the minimum number of days in each step, we're talking 240 days consecutive that an inmate is in solitary conditions, 8 months. What we found is that inmates are in the various steps for longer than the program even suggests by policy. We have inmates who minimum are spending 8 months and probably a lot more of that. Our research has also indicated that lack of record keeping around this makes it difficult for us to pin down things like average length of stay. Keep in mind, 240 consecutive days when the United Nations has met and invoked the Mandela standards, which limit this practice to 15 days consecutive.
So the minimum stay should be 15 days consecutively.
Right.
We in this state, if I'm getting this right, are having our inmates stay in there as much as long as 8 months consecutively in solitary confinement?
That's correct. That's specific to the Predatory Management Behavior Program. And like I said, in other facilities outside of PNM, it's hard to pin down what the average length of stay is for inmates in those conditions because of reporting requirements.
I want to talk about the United Nations. What is their perspective on solitary confinement?
It's a form of torture flat out, that should only be used in the most limited circumstances for a limited amount of time. I find it off-putting that in the United States of America, all across our country, are using this as an accepted form in our great nation, where you have the United Nations setting standards that are reasonable, that we are just exceeding and not even acknowledging the evolving standards of decency around the world.
During your press conference, one of the panelists referred to it as manufacturing insanity. This has been recognized, as you say, by the United Nations as a form of torture. And we know the reason it's used as a military tactic is because we know it causes insanity. It causes that. What is the reasoning that you see to use this in our prison systems with prisoners we know may then be let back out into society? Not only as human beings are we treating them with this level of an inhumane practice just as a human being, but secondarily as a prisoner, what good are we doing society by making these people worse than putting them back into society?
Right. And the during the press conference, you're referring to Matt Coit, who's one of the preeminent lawyers in the country and experts right here in our state on representing clients who have been impacted by solitary confinement. He's a great partner to our organization at the ACLU of New Mexico. And yeah, he did use that terminology, manufacturing insanity. And the interesting thing about our report is that we were able to survey and interview a number of inmates who are directly impacted by solitary confinement. And one of the things that came through in their own words is they wanted help. They wanted access to services. They wanted, to the extent that they have mental health issues and they have behavior issues, to be given the opportunity and tools to rehabilitate themselves. Right now, there's a complete lack of those types of services that the inmates are reporting. And yes, the overwhelming majority of mental health experts will tell you that this practice manifests in a way that creates more mental health issues. And the inmates themselves will say that they have thoughts of violence, issues with impulse control, mood swings, and these things that are happening to them are permanent, long-term issues. You will talk to inmates who are now out in society who talk about flashbacks, who talk about an inability to control their temper by the very virtue of being placed in solitary confinement for extended periods of time. And these, by and large, are people who didn't go into prison for violent offenses. You're talking about people who get put in prison for drug possession, addiction issues, coming out with more violent tendencies by being impacted by solitary confinement than when they went into prison.
And many of them, once they get out, are so damaged by it that they literally can't survive in the outside world.
You hear the most horrific stories. You know, one popular story nationwide is Khalif Browder. You basically have a young man who was on the verge of adulthood. I think he might have even been 17 years old, something in that neighborhood, who was wrongfully accused of stealing somebody's backpack, was placed in, I forget the name of the facility in New York. It's a nationally renowned facility in the wrong ways. And he refused to take a plea, so he got caught up in the system. And then just by being a young man in a vulnerable position in the jail setting, kept getting placed in solitary confinement. And he spent years in solitary confinement on a misdemeanor charge, who was placed in these conditions, wrongfully was able to sue the corrections department in New York. By all measures, had a huge windfall coming his way because the conditions he was subjected to were so inhumane. And even with that, being out in society and the harm that solitary confinement did to him. He could just couldn't exist among us anymore and took his own life. And you hear those stories all of the time by people who were placed in solitary confinement. It just creates such a dark place for these individuals that it's hard to move past that and to exist in society after going through that experience. And, you know, it is a prime example of kind of a poster child of why solitary confinement is wrong. And one of the things that our bill gets to is for minor children not being allowed in solitary confinement to completely eliminate the practice of solitary confinement for adolescents.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that. Before we do, I also want to mention that suicide is not necessarily an uncommon result. I know one of your panelists, a previous prisoner who'd been in solitary, and she testified that she had befriended a woman in solitary and how damaged her friend became as a result of it and did take her life. Yet another story.
Right. And who you're referring to is Kelly. She's a part of our Justice Advisory Board and is a person who was impacted by solitary confinement and incarceration. And she's a brave advocate that we're working with. And yeah, if you want to see her story about this, you can access the recent press conference we did when we released our report through our website, ACLU-NM.org. And you can also find the report there that we released on the state of solitary confinement in New Mexico.
Are there any studies that look at the correlation of suicide following solitary?
Overwhelmingly, the mental health experts in this realm are connecting a number of symptoms and behavior that results from being in solitary confinement. We're working with the mother of a young man who was in solitary confinement in a Los Lunas facility, the Central New Mexico Correctional Facility, who committed suicide while in solitary conditions on the same day. In the same facility that another man committed suicide in his cell. This happened maybe 2-3 months ago, right here in New Mexico. And, you know, not only does that go to show you that suicidal ideation and acting on that is something that happens in those conditions, it shows you the lack of monitoring that these facilities have in place, the lack of systems they have to provide mental stimulation to people in these conditions, because I don't know how you explain away the fact that these inmates are supposed to be checked on every 30 minutes and two inmates committing suicide in the same day, same facility.
How do you think we as a society let this happen? You talk about the dehumanization. That was the question I had when I saw that documentary. I thought to myself, how do we let this happen?
You know, MK, that's a hard question. My plea would be, you know, for anybody moved by this to scream from the mountaintops, call your local representatives to push for this bill that we have moving through the process. And, you know, if I could provide an answer, it's just like once people go behind the walls, we think that, you know, they're just away from the rest of us and it doesn't impact us. And we'd like to just go along our merry ways and not have to think about it. And once people realize that it puts the entire community in danger by inmates being in these conditions, because 90% of them are going back out into society. And it's a public safety issue. If that's how you want to talk about it, it's true and it impacts all of us. And there's just also the side of we have human beings that we're treating like animals, and it's just, it's sad and it's hard to imagine this exists right in our backyard.
Yeah, that was one of the quotes in the documentary. The one of the inmates said, "We're treated worse than animals. We're not even treated like human beings in here." And you talk about the dehumanization of prisoners. How much does that factor in, do you think?
It does. I mean, it's unpopular. A group of people who we like to otherize, so to speak, and, you know, the thought that they deserve to be where they're at without knowing anything about their life circumstances or oftentimes simple issues that have brought them into incarceration. It's just something that needs to change. We have multiple initiatives in our organization to restore rights of people who have been incarcerated so they can access employment, so they can vote. Once they paid their debt to society, so to speak, we shouldn't have all this stigma and conditions placed on people to allow them to move forward with their lives.
Right. So the stigmatization and dehumanization, it's a good example of it, at least what it can result in its most extreme forms. Let's talk about the bill. What's being proposed in the bill? How will things improve?
Right. So House Bill 364, we have a sponsor on both sides, Representative Mo Maestas and Senator Mary Kay Papin. This is becoming a bipartisan issue. Everyone knows that it's a form of torture at this point. And so the only sort of resistance against this exists in corrections coming out and saying that they need some sort of way to control the population. I think that there's staffing issues that our corrections department has that they would state that they need to use this tool. And I don't view those as acceptable reasons to continue with this practice in an unfettered way. So the bill, again, House Bill 364, would limit the usage, completely eliminate the usage of solitary confinement for kids and pregnant women, put strict restrictions on a solitary confinement for those who have been diagnosed with mental illness, and require regular reporting for all facilities in New Mexico, jails and prisons. And if this is passed, we would have one of the strongest bills on one of the strongest laws on the books in the nation. And once that's passed, the next step would be working with the corrections department to actually institute the Mandela rules and put a day restriction on the usage of solitary confinement in New Mexico.
Leon, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for joining us today and informing us. Again, we've been speaking with Leon Howard, legal director of ACLU. And how can people get a hold of you if they want to find out more information?
Yeah, so I think the best place would be to go to our website, again, aclu-nm.org. We have a lot of information up there about jail conditions and the usage of solitary confinement, and you can get in contact with us that way.
What's left that needs to happen?
Right. So there's no consideration of the amount of time that facilities can use solitary confinement in the bill right now. That's why I mentioned that the next step after passing this bill would be a policy effort to get our corrections department and jail facilities to actually institute a day restriction on its usage.
Thank you so much for joining us.
MK, it's been a pleasure.